coming on stage, Jordan Lear. Clap it up for awesome. Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate it. Give it up for everybody. Everyone's hilarious. I get it. We're all tired. We don't give a fuck. Comedy sucks. Whatever. I get it. I'm a roofer. I work for a roofing company. Thank you. I'm the diversity hire. I'm the the token white guy.
Jordan Lear, program number 83. Sarah versus Saint Pierre 2. Does anyone remember? Fucking Matt Sarah versus GSP 2 at UFC 83. Do you remember UFC 69 when Matt Sarah had won the Ultimate Fighter and then he got to fight the champion who was GSP, the greatest mixed martial artist on the planet at the time, and Matt Sarah was supposed to get the shit beat out of him. He was laughing on his way to the ring, and everyone's smiling at him. He's like, yeah, I shouldn't have fucking been here. That's not how he talks. And then he knocked George St. Pierre out, and it was crazy, and it made it exciting, and then they rematched, and they're like, all right, let's see if it was fucking fluke or not, and it was a fluke. GSP kicked his ass. Total fluke. Not really. Just he won that fight. But the bigger issue here, man, they didn't have a third fight. What the fuck? They didn't fight the third time. They didn't have the rubber match, you know? They didn't settle the score. They are forever 1-1. Which, honestly, if you're Matt Sarah, that's the way you want that one to go. Because if you give him the third one, then there's no fucking question. But if you want to go into the deep lore and talk about something on your podcast that no one has a fucking clue what you're talking about, then you avoid that third fight. Not that he avoided it. Would have been an easy money-making thing. I don't know if that's what they say, but no one was calling for it, you know? GSP got shocked, and then he came back. He's like, oh, fucking... I don't know. I love Matt Sarah. Matt Sarah, George St. Pierre. That has nothing to do with what I'm... That ain't what I'm here. That ain't what I'm about. I'm so tired. But I'm going to bring the energy here. Because I brought myself here to New York City. I have returned to the City of Dreams. Is that what it's called? I don't know. I was called it the City of Angels. I'm in the City of Angels, New York City. Maybe a 9/11 it was. Hey, it's not a good joke. Which is not something I'm known for, so it's very on-brand fucking joke. I've returned to the hustle and bustle of New York. Shitty. Man, I stayed, you know, I'm very much... I think the chapter of Los Angeles has long since closed in my life. I don't want to go back there, but I want to continue with the arts. And I, you know, half-assed moved here like a year ago and loved it. I love it. I still love it. It was great. I was like, this is the bee's knees, the Big Apple. The Big Apple has bees in it. I love New York. And, yo, when the writer's strike happened, ain't no work, and I wasn't down to, like, just get a job just to be here because, I don't know, it was more than that. I just want to go enjoy Michigan summer, you know, but that turned then the strike fucking took forever, all this shiza, you know, so what if I was doing a lot of chilling, a little volunteering in the community, mostly writing. And I came back to New York City. What the fucking day is it? Was it last week? Anyways, it's great to be back. I do love New York. Had many things. I don't know. Been a lot of places. It's funny, like, I mean, today, these guys I work with, they're like, well, where are you from? And I was like, oh, Michigan. But I didn't live there for a long time. I was out in L.A. And I lived there, and I lived in, you know, Arizona for a bit. And they're like, how old are you? Because I look like I'm 13 or whatever. I don't look like I'm 13. People do think I still look 18. But then if you say, if I like hearing that, I'm like, oh, I look 18. You're probably like, no, you're not. You look like a fucking meth head that's 18, maybe. But if I tell someone, you know, whatever. What's this podcast about? Guess what? Didn't have a subject. Just wanted to pump one out. Just wanted to pump it in there. You know what I mean? Just wanted to get my dick wet. And it's wet outside. It's wet ass New York. I write a line. Sometimes I'm like, how much am I like? Do I want to talk about like real life or not? You know? And considering on the podcast, give me the real life. You know, fuck it. I mean, not that it's whatever. Maybe it's just boring. Got a new, as the entertainers would call it, to clarify that they're an entertainer. I got a new day job as Hidar, which, okay. Here's the thing. I got a job, and the hours is so early. Okay, it pays the bills, I think. You ever get a job and you're like, hey, it pays the bills, and then you do the math on what you're making, you're like, maybe it pays a bill. Anyways, I got a job that I used to do when I was like a little boy, and it's not it's like I'm apologizing for the Epstein Island joke I just made in my head that I already did, but I didn't even make it. Anyways, I used to do fucking, like, roofing and carpentry work with my dad growing up, because that's what he did. And it was my, you know, I was his helper, side job guy. I don't know, when I really started working, then probably around, like, age, like, 13 or 14. But, like, when I was, like, a little kid, I've always been around job sites. Anyways, done a lot of roofing and stuff. Even, like, a couple years ago, me and him replaced a roof of my grandma's. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's outside. It's outside, you know? It's outside, which also can suck. It's what you... Sometimes I've had office jobs before, and that is just pure hell. And this job is hard, but it's not pure hell. It more just feels like life, honestly. You know? How many times have you been staring at a fucking Microsoft Excel sheet? I had stupid jobs before, going, oh my fucking, we're watching a Zoom session for work. Ugh. I'm like, can I please just like pick up like a brick and put it over there? Can I just like put some fucking epoxy glue on this fucking shit before you put that stone in there? You know, can I take some flashing concrete and just swipe it around the sides of this fucking roof for like 2 hours and get black tar all over my fucking hands? You know? Can I just go, like, cut those fucking bricks, spray them off, and mix concrete around? I don't know. It's something. It's interesting because I went to school for, like film and video stuff. Like, I know how to use a camera. And I know how to use audio editing, all this shit, you know? And I should probably, like, try and get, like, a jab in that. While I'm passing around the screenplays and auditioning for the, you know, for my shit. But, God, those jobs suck. Ugh. I guess if they pay more, that's better. But you gotta fucking look so stupid, too. You gotta dress in dumb clothes. Like, I like the way, like, roofers dress. I don't know. Whatever, I'm going to get off that. This isn't the roofing episode. This is, that'll be one down the line. New York City. Did my first set since I've been back, and it felt amazing. Did my first comedy set in New York. I did it once in South Bend, some shitty fucking not even comedy club. Did it once over the past 8 months. It was lame. It felt very good on Saturday night. Went down the Lower East Side to a little open mic. Bunch of new shit. Anytime you got new shit, anytime you have new things to say in front of strangers, that's fucked up. People, that for me, that's all stand-up is about. I honestly, I don't even care about doing, like, good. I don't care about... I don't care about getting booked. I just care about having new shit, you know? Hopefully one day this will change. But honestly, I don't think about getting booked at all or making any money in stand-up. All I think about or hope for or want is more wild things to try and say in front of strangers. That's it. That sounded good. Yeah. All right. You know what? That's been this segment. That's been this. You don't get a 20-minute one. Get a nice, easy, take the temperature down a little bit, arrive. You know, life's going to keep coming at after you. It's going to be another piece of fucking scaffolding to swing off of, you know? Putting some fucking nails in through your eyeballs. What am I saying? I don't know. I'm too tired. Next segment. As always, sponsored by Played Against Sports. And there's not a lot of Played Against Sports in New York City, so that sponsorship might be running to an end. Even though you motherfuckers don't give me any goddamn money, and I'm gonna be suing your ass until eternity. Played Against Sports, I love you. Okay? I got a beat up volleyball net with dog crap all over it from Played Against Sports. It's one of my best memories of all time. One time I got some scuba gear from Play It Again Sports, and I died. It was the best thing that ever happened, dare you. That sounded so morbid. That's not true. That's not true. Play It Again Sports is a worthy adversary to me in my upcoming lawsuit against those fucking people who won't give me money. I don't know why I bring up so much mindless heat sometimes. I think it's funny. That's why. All right. Fan comments, questions, concerns. I had a couple of really good comments on YouTube videos I posted this week. I think I was talking about a problem I had with Boondock Saints, how I didn't like it, but I was like, I don't really have a problem with it, but I just don't like it. And someone responded, Noah Rodenkeek is his name. He said, I don't know. I just don't have a problem with whatever. I just, like, don't like Jordan Lear or whatever. That's pretty funny. I don't know. This guy's a good writer. I could tell in his writing that he was making fun of me, the way I talk and the way I'm like non-committal sometimes over issues. I think you should keep on making fan comments. I think you have a hell of a writing career. You have a good commenter career, dude. You're a pretty good writer. I feel that this guy doesn't like me when he says that. But he's got nothing else to do. Like, I get it. And then I had another person say, this person, Gerard Mike Burns Jr., I forget, on one of my videos, he said, it is embarrassing that the tens of thousands of people who get stupidly drunk on St. Patrick's Day still make more sense than this guy. Yeah, that is embarrassing. You try having a college education and video audio background and nailing fucking shingles for a living. I'm not embarrassed by that at all. It's fucking badass work. I think I was talking about how I don't like fucking Irish shit after St. Patrick's Day. Here's something fun about, okay, embarrassing that people get stupidly drunk and make more sense than this guy. Yeah, well, you should see how much sense I don't make. If I, you know, imagine if I was tankard. This year, I was about to say I didn't get drunk on St. Patty's Day this year. I think I probably did. Not really, I didn't like go out or anything. The previous St. Patrick's Day, I was in New York City. And I didn't get drunk. I went to church. I went to the St. Patrick's Cathedral. And it was embarrassing there. Like, I went because it was kind of those cools on theme. And I was dead sober even. And there was a bunch of, like, old people wearing green with beads on. And they were hammered. Just like, oh, where are they at? There's, like, they're like older people, too. That, I felt embarrassed at that. Because you know how much I respect the Catholic Church. I love the cats. All right, that was the fan comments, concerns. Next seg. Time for the program. Time for the list of all the movies and television shows and documentaries and books and stand-up comedy specials Jordan Lear watched this week. Does he have a life? I bet this list will begin to diminish now that he works a full-time job. Will he even continue this podcast? Probably, because I like the dopamine. All right, movies. This list probably will start to diminish, but this is what I did. Some of these were back in the SB. I watched Kill Bill. I don't know, man. I love Tarantino. He's definitely got to be my favorite filmmaker, so his movies are just always on. They're in the realm of I don't even have to complete them. They're like Big Lebowski to me. You know, can't say enough good things about Kill Bill. I will say this. I stand by the thought that Quentin Tarantino's next film, The Critic, which semi-rumored Shane Gillis was going to be the star of, but I'm not even going to talk about that. I don't think so. It's going to be his 10th and last movie because Quentin Tarantino wants to do 10 films and that's it. He's like, I think that's a nice number. I don't want to do things too old. Maybe I'll just do TV shows, whatever. Well, Kill Bill is there's volume 1 and volume 2, two separate theatrical movies, but he considers them to be one because he conceived it as one and he shot them back to back, you know. So now he's had this rumored third one for years, you know, about the one chick, Vivica Fox's daughter that watches her die or whatever, her coming back for revenge years later against Uma Thurman and Maya Hawke. Now, I stand by. He's going to make The Critic. He's going to fucking go chill and, like, make, like, some TV shows and books or whatever, stuff that's not a movie. And then he's going to circle on back and make Kill Bill Volume 3. Maybe even 20 years from now. Maybe even 20 years from now. In the year 2044. Wow. I wonder if I'll still be roofing.
by then. I wonder if I'll still be acting then. I wonder if there will still be internet then. Oh, if we have stupid commercials in 2044, I'm going to be so fucking pissed off about it. I already am. Oh, my God. Okay, anyways. I watched Kill Bill. Next, I watched Roadhouse, the new one, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. And I watched it without watching the original first, and I thought it was badass. And I thought it was great. And all I was thinking was, good luck topping this one, original version. I like this Jake Gyllenhaal shit just fine. Conor McGregor? I don't know. They framed him well. He knew to perform. It's stiff acting, but he's a stiff guy. Fuck, man, this movie was good. I don't know, it was ridiculous. But then I did watch the original. Amazing. I think I'm more of a fan of the new one, though, honestly. I'm doing this just for the hate. No, I do. I enjoyed it more. But the Patrick Swayze one is dope, dude. And I do get it. It's got that original, like, Fast and Furious, like, over-the-top type. You think you can fuck with me, you know? The problem with Roadhouse is, when it came out, like, in 1989, you just really thought you could just do that still. Like, you're like, oh, fuck, yeah. I'll just be like Patrick Swayze and be gay. The best part of that movie is, like, there's the towards the end, there's this big fight going on, and this dude is, like, beating up Patrick Swayze, and he grabs him by the back of the hair, and he goes, I used to fuck guys like you in prison. What? Did that guy's agent not sit him down and be like, hey, don't say that line? Because I feel like everyone's going to look at you differently after that. Patrick Swayze. Sam Elliott? Is that his name? Yeah, Sam Elliott. The old fucking... Take her easy, dude. That wasn't good. I fucking love you so fucking much. Sam, the old cowboy, you know? Sam Elliott from Tombstone and... he's in Star is Born, plays the older brother. He is in Roadhouse, and he still kind of looks old then. But he's alive still today. Patrick Swayze isn't. They should have got Sam Elliott in the Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse. And for all I know, maybe I skipped that part because I was fucking packing up for New York. Okay. Then I watched some shitty movies to fall asleep. I watched Trump vs. the Illuminati. I needed, like, some over-the-top movie like that once in a while just to fall asleep to. Watch Office Space. Every time I start working, I think about Office Space. Every time I work a little jobby job, I just put on Office Space. I watch Aquaman, The Last Kingdom. Only half of it. I have to finish the other half. That's another one. I'm like, between Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, and Trump vs. the Illuminati, I don't know which one is more mediocre. You know, and I enjoy them both, but pretty run-of-the-mill. Same, I watched Easter Bunny Massacre, The Bloody Trail. You know, I'll put these random festive movies on in the background whenever I'm watching, Easter happens, so I watched that fucking movie. It's pretty much on par with Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, I gotta be honest. And then on Easter, I was looking for, like, a religious movie, and... I missed the screening of Last Temptation of Christ at the Museum of Moving Image, so I put on Dogma. Kevin Smith, that's a good movie, man. That's a fun movie. I love the Askewniverse, the View Askewniverse, the Clerks, Jane Silent Bob, Chasing Amy. Dude, Kevin Smith's, it's just such a fun, that universe feels like home to me. And the Dogma thing. You ever see Dogma with the religion? Fucking Matt Damon. I think it's his best acting, by the way. It's really fucking good. Him and Ben Affleck, they play angels. Like, they play angels with wings. And they're banished to Earth
to live out until they die or whatever, but then they find a loophole to pass through some arch and get back into heaven, but it's going to undo existence or whatever. And they're just so fucking committed. I don't know. A little too tired to do a deep dive on Dogma. I should have more energy for Dogma. What do I want to say? Alanis Morissette plays God. Alanis Morissette plays God. Alan Rickman. Fucking Snape is in that. Showing his, like, non-dick. You gotta see that movie. Chris Rock's in that movie. Then I've been wrapping it up. I was watching Godzilla 1998, which I fucking love, man. Godzilla 1988. How was there never a sequel to that? Because they had the ending scene. I haven't even rewatched it, and I know whenever they find all the eggs in Madison Square Garden of the Godzilla and they're going to hatch out, and can't tell me that fucking Cloverfield didn't grab a little bit of that, but you know, it's fucking rainy day in New York. It's gloomy. This is Godzilla 1998 weather. I put it on. I'm festive. I got good shit, man. I love that movie. I love Matthew Broderick. Television. I just fall asleep every night watching Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Frasier. Both of those things. I love Frasier is so funny. My wife recently left me, which was very painful. And then she came back to me, which was excruciating. That's the best joke of all fucking time. Still watching X-Men 97. They got the twist now with the Jean Grey clone. And I'm thinking this is how we're going to get some Cable action, Nathan Summers. You know? X-Men 97 is so fucking good. And then watched all of House of Dragon finally. You know, the old Game of Thrones spinny spinoff. Those shows are good. Those shows are all, you know, it's just simple. It's like, I'm not boss. I want to be boss. Here's my penis. Can I stroke it while you twiddle your toes? It's all about fetishes. That whole fucking show is all about murder, death, and fetishes. It's pretty cool. Watching other people do it. I don't got weird shit. You can have that weird shit, but I like watching old them have weird shit. Documentary. I watched the Fab Five, which I don't fucking even give a fuck. Talk about Michigan Wolverines. I barely watch this shit. Stand up. I watched Norm Macdonald One Night Stand. I got so interested in Norm Macdonald the other night because someone said he lost his entire fortune gambling, like, three or four times. And yeah, then I had to look up interviews of him talking about it, gambling like, you know, $500,000 on fucking craps or whatever, and just being addicted to it and sports betting and shit. And Norm Macdonald is so fucking funny. Ugh. Man, my buddy, I mean, I say my buddy like so loosely. I mean, I love the guy. It's not like we're super close, but a comic I knew out in LA, really nice kid, Jeremy McKiernan, was opening for Norm before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit and show stopped, and then Norm died in 2021. Fuck, that sucks, man. Think about Jeremy McKiernan. The guy's so funny. It's like being funny is not enough in this industry to get it industrialized, which is not that you want that, but fuck, man. I feel like I see people post about like Norm Macdonald all the time, like my favorite comic. I'm like, you guys should check out his fucking protege. You know, I should just start doing that. Here it is. Go check out Jeremy McKiernan. He's so fucking funny. I hope he's still doing stand up. If he's not, he should start doing it tomorrow, ASAP. Ugh. My buddy David Dorward told me he quit doing stand-up. And when I say buddy, like people I've knew and hung out with at open mics a lot, you know. I haven't talked to him forever. They say quit before the pandemic or during the pandemic. Fuck, man. It's weird to be... You know what's weird about doing stand-up? Is it's weird to keep doing it because there's so many things in life that you don't keep doing and you move past. And it's kind of like probably weird or bad that you keep doing that. Like, you know, I don't know, like school and high, like you talk about high school that it already happened, you know, or high school sports, like it already did. And it's not like you still get up with your buddies and like, I guess some people have like softball leagues and shit or whatever. But yeah, you talk about college or maybe you went in the military. You talk to your buddies about the war, you know, but you're not like still there. I hope not. You know, these hobby, but like stand up. Because stand up, especially that first year, that second year, third year, like, what if you see people a few times and you're talking about it just to like gain respect amongst each other or to challenge each other, you're like, oh, so you serious? You're going to do this for the rest of your life? And everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to do this forever. You know, it's probably actually put across more chill than that. But, you know, I've heard comics ask each other straight up, like a bunch of them, like, what's your goal? What do you want? And, you know, because you have 2 hours to kill at open mics and everyone's trying to fucking network or I don't know. No one knows how to act. But I meet more and more that are just not doing it. That were. That I'm like, I would have always thought forever they'd be doing it. But then again, I don't know. I thought we'd all be fucking blown up by now. You know, I mean, in a good way. I thought we'd all be like having shit pop off. I guess we have in our own way, but feels like the dark ages of comedy, if I want to be honest. And maybe that can be my excuse for growing up in this time, but these are fickle years. It's hard to, you got to keep yourself going. You know what I mean? Definitely more comics I know die by their own hands than ones I know that make it. Anyways, Norm MacDonald, one night stand. Norm MacDonald's so fucking funny. And book, I'm reading The Picture of Dorian Gray. Yeah, I'm reading it. Oscar Wilde. I'm interested. It's already the best preface I've ever read before. It says a bunch of shit about art and what art is and how it's not meant to be good or bad. It just kind of is. And it's more elegantly put it than that. Oscar Wilde. Wild, man. Well, in closing, I'm going to close this. I'm gonna give a closing statement. It's going to be good. Hold on. What? Is it going to be a speech, like an inspiration, the thing I want to pass along? Is it something I want to tell about myself? Is it something I predict? You know what? I'm going to give an inspirational speech to you out there. You, and you know exactly who you are. You know who you are, and you know what you're doing, and you know what you're not doing for your life. You know what is making you wake up every single day, and you know what is making you not want to wake up. You know exactly what those things are. And every single day you wake up and you feel like a prisoner of these thoughts and these problems and these things going on. And you know you have the control to change it. So you start taking action to do it. And you do it. And then it sucks the energy out of you. And then you feel like you're going to die. So my advice to you isn't to keep going. My advice to you is to quit. Because that's the most logical thing to do right now. Lay down. Take a rest. That's my advice. But honestly, I wouldn't take advice from me. I don't even take advice from me. Okay? I wake up and I pound Jordan Peterson and Lex Friedman. And when I say I pound them, I mean, we do anal sex. Yeah, this is a big coming out party for them. I'm coming out for them. I pound them. And we've been doing it. And we pass information that I... You know, I've never spoke to Lex Friedman. We've only had sex. I call him Sex Friedman. Is it Friedman? Yeah. And Jordan Peterson? Guess what? We are Jordan Peterson. He's actually the Peterson while I'm Jordan. That didn't fucking... Who gives a shit? Yes, keep going, because... You know. They should do GSP versus Matt Serra 3 in Kill Bill Volume 3. I'm going to pitch that movie to Quentin Tarantino and Dana White. Kill Bill 3. GSP versus Matt Serra 3.
I'm gonna start roofing. can't post most of this or probably ever say it again, so you're getting the good shit. got arrested.
Life you once had.
Not a fleshed out joke.
Are you okay, man?
Yeah! I've got good shit, man! This is a gold mine! This is... What do you have to say about that?